All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know you're all thinking we're supposed to have special music right here, so let me just put your mind at ease. Our special music called in with a cold and a sore throat and unable to sing, so there is no special music tonight, so don't worry about. John, we're good. Thank you, but we're good. I really do appreciate your willing spirit, though. I tell you what, I'll call you if I need you, okay? All right. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to begin reading in the 9th verse. Like father, like daughter, I tell you, or like father, like son. All right, look at verse 9. Let's begin there, and you follow along as I read. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church and giving them some really good insight into the things of God and to what being a Christian is, and about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, who helps us as we live for the Lord. So if you look at the 9th verse, Paul says, "But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." Now notice that. God hath revealed them unto us. The Holy Spirit of God reveals to us all the goodness of God. That's amazing, isn't it? I have often preached in sermons and said to you in sermons that the Christian life is whatever time God gives you from the day you get saved until you go to heaven, for you to find out all the wonderful things that God did for you when He saved your soul. And that's what this verse is telling us. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit of God knows the things of God. We don't. Our human spirit does not understand the things of God. But the Holy Spirit understands the things of God. Now, when you get saved, what happens to you? Well, you are born into the family of God. And you are, as Paul phrased it, you are baptized of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes up residency in your life, in your heart, we say. In you. And so the Holy Spirit can then reveal to you the things of God. You say, how does the Spirit do that? Well, the Spirit does that as you read the Bible. And as you come to church and hear the Bible preached, the Holy Spirit then reveals to you the things of God. All right, look at verse 12. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We talk about folks growing in the Lord. That's what growing in the Lord is. That's you finding out all the things that God has blessed you with since you got saved. All right? Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But, now he's going to go from the believer, from the Christian, in verse 9 to verse 13, he's discussing the Christian, but now he's going to go to the unsaved person, to the natural man. And in verse 14 he said, but the natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now, folks, just put a little mental pause right there a minute. Look at me. This is why you should not stand at your door and argue with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. You are wasting your time. And John said, don't even bid them Godspeed. That's what John said. John knew you were wasting your time. Now, I've been saved since 1970, and I have been in the ministry since 1977. Not one time in my 40 years of being in the ministry have I ever heard of anybody leading two Jehovah's Witnesses to the Lord at their door. And I have never heard of anybody that's a soul winner, that's a pastor, that's a church member. I've never heard of anybody leading two Mormons to Christ at their door. It doesn't happen. Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. You say, well, shouldn't we try? John said no. John said, don't even bid him Godspeed. Now, don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. John wrote it. All right? And that's what he said. Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But, Pastor, hey, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's why you can't win an argument with your uncle at the dinner table when it comes to the Bible. It's like talking to the wall. Now, it's just the way it is. I'm sorry if that offends you, but it's just the way it is. All right? Read on. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, folks, when you come on Wednesday night and go downstairs to the Soul Winners Club, we have a specific set of verses. And one of the things, and of course Larry taught me a lot when I came here, but one of the things that Larry taught me when I came here was how to deal with those unsaved people that want to argue the Bible and question the Bible. And Larry said, oh, here's what we do. Whenever somebody interrupts you as you're giving them the plan and says to you, well, let me ask you a question. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Larry would say, oh, well, here's how you handle that. You say, you know, that's a really good question. And I'll be more than happy to discuss that with you in just a minute. But can we just lay that right over here for a minute? And let's get back to what I was showing you right here. And then 2 minutes later, when the guy says, well, wait a minute, I got a question for you. Can God make a rock bigger than he can throw? You know, that's a good question, sir. And that's what you do. You can't sit and argue theology with an unsaved man. You just can't do it. You're going to lose every time. And so the gospel, what you're trying to do is get the person saved. You get them saved, and then they can understand truth. But until you get them saved, they can't understand truth. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Question mark. That's rhetorical. All right, now, here's what Paul adds to that. But, what's the next word? We. Who's we? Us saved folks. All right? But we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ if you're saved. And therefore, you can understand truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will guide you in the truth. You understand what discernment is? Boy, do God's people need discernment. There is so much false doctrine, and God's people need to know the truth and be able to discern it. And what I have tried to get you to see in the last 21 years is right here is the measuring stick for what's truth and what's error. Right here, this book. All right? So let's pray, and then I want to take these verses and share a couple of thoughts with you tonight. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessings now upon us. We just thank you for the Word of God. And I pray you'll lead and guide us tonight as we think on a few things about hearing the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to enable us to hear the truth of your Word. Father, just give us, I pray, your mind and your heart tonight. And may we see these things clearly this evening. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us and reveals the truth of God to our hearts. And Father, I pray that you will open our minds and our hearts tonight so we can see the importance of listening and hearing led by the Holy Spirit of God. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, there's a great deal of importance that we put upon the Spirit-filled life. I think that it's clear in the Scripture. Paul said that we are not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that means continuously. The idea of that is not just filled on Sunday, not just filled on Wednesday night, but we are to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. We emphasize when our choir sings that, and Pastor Brian prays for the choir or whoever he calls on to pray, and we ask the Lord to bless the music that we're going to do tonight. Not just so it sounds good, but that it goes out and speaks to the heart. That God takes the message of that song and deals with the individual heart. And we talk about the Spirit-filled life and how we ought to be living filled with the Spirit and how we ought to be preaching with the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to think with me for a few minutes tonight about the matter of Spirit-filled ears, Spirit-filled listening. I honestly believe that we could have revival in our churches if we would make it a habit of asking the Holy Spirit to fill us and help us as we listen to what goes on in church. I mean, not just to hear with our ears what goes on, but to hear with our hearts what goes on. When a song is being sung, I have noticed through the years, you'll look out and some folks are sitting there counting ceiling tiles during the congregational singing. You know, others are sitting there seeing who's here and who's sitting where and who's what this one's wearing and what that one's wearing. And if we would just sometime before church begins, take a few minutes and say, okay, Lord, I'm about to go to your house and I'm about to sit and listen to some singing, and I'm going to do some singing myself in the congregational singing, and then I'm going to hear the pastor preach a message. And so, Holy Spirit of God, give me ears to hear what I'm about to hear. I don't want to just hear it up here. I want to hear it down here. I want it to be something that touches my heart. You see, I get back in my office through the week, and I pray and ask God to help me in the preparation of the messages. And then I spend hours preparing the messages. And I'm just wondering what would happen if folks would get alone with God before church, before they ever come to the service, and would just spend a little time and say, "Dear Lord, help me tonight to be a Spirit-filled listener." Would that not change our churches? Would that not send revival to our churches? I think that would put an end to dull services, and I think that that would put an end to folks going out and saying, "Man, I didn't get a thing out of that tonight. Did you?" I think it would put an end to that if we had ears to hear what the Spirit had to say. Now, let me illustrate. Suppose you called me up and you said, "Pastor, we would like for you and Karen to come over to our house Friday night and eat dinner." And I said, "Oh, okay, well, that sounds good to me. I think we'd like to do that." And so you said to me, "Well, Pastor, I heard that you like ribeye steak, and so we're going to go and get some good ribeye steak and cook them on the grill, and we're going to fix baked potatoes, and we're going to have tossed salad, and we're going to have some other vegetables and a casserole, and we're going to get some of that banana pudding with vanilla wafers in it and chocolate stuff on the top." Man, that's preaching now, isn't it? Huh? Yeah, you're listening now, aren't you? And we're going to just do it upright. And I said, and I would say, "Well, all right, what time do you want us there?" And so you'd say, "Well, how about 6? And I'd say, "Okay, 6 o'clock Friday night, we'll be there." But then let's suppose that I got home at 4:30 on Friday night, and Karen got home at 4:30, and when she walked in, she said, "You know, I'm just starving to death. Let's just go ahead and fix something to eat real quick before we go over to so-and-so's house." And so if we fixed a quick meal and then sat down at the dinner table and ate that meal and then looked at the watch and said, "Oh, it's 5:45, we better get going." And so we went out and got in the car and came over to your house. And when we walked in, the table was spread. I mean, there was big 10, 12, 14-ounce ribeye steaks laying there on the plate, and great big old baked potatoes, and tossed salad at every plate, and vegetables sitting in bowls, and a casserole, and the banana pudding sitting off to the side. And so Karen and I walk in and sit down, and I look over at you and say, "Wow, it sure was nice of you to fix all this, but we couldn't wait. We went ahead and had our dinner." Well, let me ask you, how rude would that be? I mean, how awful would that be? Would you not feel like grabbing me by the nape of the neck, throwing me through the door? In Christian love, of course, but throwing me through the door? I mean, now parallel that, folks. Listen, I sit back there in my office, in the kitchen, preparing all week long, begging God to lead me and guide me and give me what you need. I sit back there and pray and ask God to help. And honestly, there are times when the message is a labor. It is difficult. It's like pulling hen's teeth to get it. And then there are other times when it's like heaven opens up and the message just falls right down. But it doesn't make any difference whether I have to labor for it or whether it just automatically comes. There's still work, there's still prayer, and there's still preparation back in the kitchen that is called my office. And therefore, when you come in to the table, you ought to come and having been begging God before you ever got here to make you starving for what is about to be put on the table. Now, I'm telling you, folks, that would change a whole lot of what goes on in here when the preaching's going on and when the singing is going on. Now, why is Spirit-filled listening so needed? I'll tell you why. It's right here in this verse. It is so needed because human wisdom cannot grasp the things of God by itself. We must have the Holy Spirit. Look at that 13th verse, that 12th verse, and that 13th verse. We've got to have the Spirit of God to help us. Remember when John said that Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not? How sad was that? Here were all these Jews who took pride in their knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. They knew all the prophecies about the Messiah. They knew Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 frontwards and backwards. But yet they did not have the spiritual understanding to see that the Lord Jesus was the fulfillment of those scriptures. You see, folks, to know the Word is not enough. We need the Spirit of God to enlighten us as we read the Word and as we hear the Word preached. And a Christian ought to come to church with the same intensity to listen as what I come in here, intensity-wise, to preach. Visitors will come up and they'll say, man, you don't hold anything back, do you? No. Man, I've been back in the office cooking all week long. I can't wait to get in here and show you what I've prepared. But I know that sometimes it rattles folks. They'll come in and say, wow. I mean, that guy's a little heavy, isn't he? Yeah, he's heavy. If I could get you here every night, I might calm down a little bit, but once a week is all I got at some of you. You can bet your boots I'm going to let you have it. Amen. So to know the Word is not enough. And a Christian ought to come to church and just be intense and say, man, give me something, Pastor. Give me something from the Word of God that I can take with me this week. You know, Dr. Smith and I, last couple of summers, we've gone to, I don't know, 5, 6, 7. I think we went to 7 games this year, Orioles games. He loves the Orioles, and I love baseball. I love the Orioles now, but I just love baseball. One of the saddest days of the year for me was when the World Series was over. I thought, now what am I going to watch? You know, I don't watch ABC and NBC and CBS. I don't watch that garbage. And by the way, you ought not watch it either. You're welcome. But we love baseball. Dr. Smith knows the pitching stats. He knows the record, the ERA. He knows every batter's. I said, what do you do? Study this stuff? Do you have devotions every morning out of the ESPN site on? What do you do? And he said, no, man, I just love baseball. And we get down to the ball game, and, you know, I noticed we get our food before the game starts, and we take it inside. You say, why do you do that? Don't want to leave. We don't want to miss anything. And he'll look over at me, and he'll say, when this inning's over, I'm going to the bathroom. And I said, well, go now. No, I don't want to miss nothing. We don't want to miss anything. And boy, when somebody gets a hit, we're cheering. We get excited about it. And then a couple of months ago, we were together up in Erie, Pennsylvania. And we were sitting side by side in the service, and this pastor from the area, he preached first, and then Dr. Smith preached, and then I preached. And so Dr. Smith and I were sitting together in the first sermon. And that guy's up there preaching away. I mean, he got wound up. And Dr. Smith and I both got wound up. And we're both hollering amen, throwing our hands up in the air and cheering that guy on. And I said, Dr. Smith, I said, we're just like at a ball game, aren't we? Oh, we ought to listen with some intensity. You know, it's no wonder we're so easily led astray. It's no wonder that our churches split so easily. It's no wonder that our churches are filled with carnal, worldly people. The bottom line is we don't know how to listen. We don't know how to hear what God has to say. Years ago, I was pastoring down in West Virginia, and I had Glenn Matthews in to preach for me. And it was a Sunday morning service. The custom was when the service was over for the preacher to go to the door and to shake hands with people as they walked out of the building. And so I grabbed Glenn. I said, come on, we're going to go back to the door and call on somebody. And they closed in prayer and we went to the door. And Glenn preached, a tremendous message that morning. It was, you know, typical Glenn Matthews. You're sitting there spellbound listening as he puts the pieces of the puzzle together. And then he puts that final piece in and you feel like you've just walked through the pearly gates. I mean, it was one of those services. And so we're standing back at the door and we're shaking hands. And there was, Glenn was here and I was here and folks were coming this way. And this lady went by and she shook hands with Glenn. And Glenn said, good morning. And she said, good morning, sir. And she came to me and she shook my hand. She said, preacher, I think that's the best sermon you ever preached in your life. Glenn looked at me, big old smile came over his face, and I just said, don't say a word. I said, thank you, ma'am. God bless you. You have a good day. Wanted to kick her as she went by. We don't listen. We don't listen. I've had folks also go out the door, and I love this. They went out the door, and they said, Pastor, thank you for what you taught me today. And I always say, oh, yeah, what did I teach you? And then they'll tell me what I taught them. And you know what? What I taught them, I didn't even know. Yeah, many a time. You know why? Because it wasn't me that taught them that. It was the Holy Spirit of God that took the preparation back in the kitchen that I brought in here and then dished out. And it was the Holy Spirit that said, here, try this bite. This is a good one. Here, bite this. Amen. Just listening, listening, listening. And Holy Spirit listening. Let me remind you, folks, that the devil is the prince and power of the air. Now, how does my voice get from my larynx to your ear? Through the air. Through the air. And there is a battle going on right now over what you hear. Over what you hear. And we need the Spirit of God to help us as we listen. Every Christian ought to train himself to get alone before he comes to church or she comes to church and make it a routine to ask God to help them be a Spirit-filled listener. Somebody asked me recently if it bothers me when people get up during the service, when people walk in and walk out. And I said, well, now that you mention it, yes, it does. But it probably doesn't bother me for the reason that you think it bothers me. It bothers me for this reason. It bothers me because when somebody leaves or when somebody is disturbing the service, people are watching them instead of listening to me. That's what bothers me. What bothers me is you're going to miss something. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but boy, I notice it. You get to the invitation and there's unsaved people there, and it's like the devil reaches over and pinches that little baby. We had that at a funeral recently. Do you remember? What, y'all remember? You remember that. I mean, it was like Where the monks and the friars are. What do you call that? A monastery. It's like a monastery in here. The whole service. I mean, it's quiet. You could have heard a pin drop. And the message was just flowing and the gospel just went out. It was so clear. And I got right down to the invitation and right there, this kid started screaming. Right there. And you know what every eyeball in the building did? Looked right there. I wonder how many people would have gotten saved at that funeral if that kid hadn't started crying. I wonder. Now, what will this do for us? If we had spiritual ears to hear, what would this do for us? Back about 17, 18 years ago, I preached a sermon here one Sunday night, and I entitled it, How to Fire the Preacher. How to Fire the Preacher. Now, it's not what you think it was. Here was my thesis. If we would fire the preacher, we wouldn't have to fire the preacher. If we would fire him up, then we wouldn't have to fire him down the road. You say, well, how do you fire him up? Well, how about a little spirit-filled listening? How about a little spiritual hearing going on? How about just making yourself available to hear what the Spirit of God has to say? If the members of a church would put a fire under their preacher through prayer and through love and through support and through work and through being faithful and through being Spirit-filled, there would be no stopping what God could do in that church. I took the text for that sermon out of Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible said there that they were all in one accord. And that doesn't mean they were all riding in a Honda. They were in one accord. They were in agreement. They were filled with the Spirit. I don't know if I've ever told y'all what I'm about to tell you, but when I was a junior in college, I traveled with the karate team at Bob Jones University in college. And we went out just about every weekend somewhere and would preach in youth groups or in churches, and that we'd do a karate demonstration, and then I would preach. And we got a phone call from, or a call slip, and went to the office to see what they wanted, and there was a black church just on the other side of Greenville that had invited us to come, and their pastor wanted somebody from the team to preach. And so Dr. Stenholm said, Norris, I want you to preach. And I said, okay, I'll be glad to. And we went to that church, and it was packed. There were over 400 people in that church, and it was packed to the hilt. There was not a seat anywhere in that building. And we put on the demonstration, and then we had a song, and I'm telling you, they didn't just sing; they sang that song. I mean, it wasn't just look into the hymn book and sing it. I mean, it was throw your head back and let her rip. And I sat there listening to that song, and I thought, "Wow, listen to this! This is amazing." And then the choir sang, and I'm telling you, that choir beat anything that I heard over to college. And there was only about 40, 50 people in that choir. But now they sang that night, and it was amazing. And the preacher called me over, And he said, now, brother, you quit when the Spirit of God tells you to quit. And I said, yes, sir. I like that. Now, I got up and started preaching, and I said, open your Bible. And there were resounding amens around the building. I'd never heard that before when I was preaching. But I'm going to be honest with you, I liked it. I said, open your Bible. And all of a sudden, amen resounded, and the man at the organ played a little ditty on the organ. Open your Bible. Amen. Do-do-do-do-do. And you could hear that bass down at the bottom. He never took his foot off that bass. I said, two, and announce the text. And again, he hit the keys. And I thought, this is going to take a while. And it did. It took about an hour and a half. And nobody moved. Man, I mean, they got with it. And there were times when I had to stop preaching, and the guy over here would just play, and they'd just shout. Because I was given the gospel. I only had about three messages. Two of them were gospel messages, and one was a message on prayer. And I didn't feel led to do the one on prayer, so I preached the gospel message. And if I remember right, I combined them both. I mean, I went nuts that night. Do-do-do-do-do. It was amazing. I preached on every sin I could think of. And what was really cool was when the service was over, they all came to the altar and confessed everything that I had preached on. It was amazing. We didn't get out of church for hours. And we got in the car and started talking about it. And one of the guys said, you know, I think these folks listen better than we do. I think they listen. I said, what? They don't listen better than us. Oh, yeah, they listen better than us. I said, we all listen the same way. He said, oh, no, they listen to God. I said, oh, there's the difference right there. Listening to the Lord. Now, my dear friend, you have the mind of Christ. Listen to it. Listen to it. When the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, listen to it. When you read the Bible and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and teaches you that truth, listen to it. Get yourself out of the way. Get your prejudices out of the way. Get your preconditioned ideas out of the way. Read the Bible. Let the Spirit of God put a great big amen right there on it. Right there on it. And get it here in your heart. We need to realize that the Holy Spirit has to play a vital role in every area of our lives. Not just in our relationships, not just in our preaching, not just in our Sunday school class, not just in our choir or our orchestra or our soul winners club or our bus ministry. How about let's allow the Holy Spirit to play a vital part in what we do right here in this auditorium every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Lord, just give me ears to hear. Now let me have you turn over to Revelation and I'm done. Look at Revelation. Chapter 2. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Huh. What do you think of that? If you got an ear, the Lord Jesus said, you need to listen. Look at chapter 2 and verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look down at verse What's the next one? Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look down at verse 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Then look down chapter 3, verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Folks, do you just kind of get the idea that the Lord wants us to hear what the Lord has to say to us? And we need some Spirit-filled listening to do that. Why don't we start this new year by saying, Holy Spirit of God, give me ears to hear. Just give me ears to hear. I'm telling you, it'd revolutionize everything for you. And make it a matter every day. Lord, give me spiritual ears. Help me to hear. Help me to hear what the Lord has to say.